Am I on? Does this work? I guess it is. Tell me. But what a pleasure to be here this morning. I was listening. It's just a beautiful morning. Art, the song, how true. You know, right now it's by faith, and we're going to be talking about that. But one day it's going to be by sight. And the baby dedication, oh, Madison, wow. You know, I'm looking out here. My daughter, Mim, runs. So does her friend, Han. Matter of fact, Han ran the marathon yesterday up in Akron. Mim did the half marathon. And I was watching Madison's legs moving, and I thought, man, there's a future runner there too, you know. And, you know, the Bible talks about that, how we are to run the race and we are to finish strong. So we do. I love our church. I love every one of you. I love our pastors. And I'm thankful for all of your prayers. I felt them this week. I really, really did. I'm so thankful for my family as I look around and see in the corners back there and up here. I don't think Scott's here today because he has a job at Berry Cheese. And we're thankful Scott's working. I love my son to death, but it was a good thing he got out of the house. And that's a good thing. So... And it was a good thing for him, more importantly. And I just think about the guidance I received from Tom, Jay's guidance. Thank you so very, very much. Chris, I know you're out there somewhere because she's the only lady that has half a chance to read my writing. And I thank you for your help. And Chris, I don't know if I still have the world's worst handwriting from the JBI students or not. Apparently I do, as I'm hearing it. Apparently I do. But, and it goes on. I think of Tim. I love Tim. Chaplain Tim, my oh my. And I tell the men in the jail, my life has never been the same since I met Tim. And that's the absolute truth. Man turns 70 next week, but you never know it. He is on constant. He's like the ever-ready bunny. He is always moving. And I love him. And what I love about him is he's totally sold out to Jesus. And those men know it. Those women know it in the jail. And it's just wonderful. I think my friend Harvey Tuck, every Saturday we still meet. Our discipleship's been going on, I think, about 5-6 years, Jay, as far as I can tell. But we generally meet over at Einstein's. And Harvey was a great encouragement to me yesterday. And then finally, my friend Adam Richardson. Had no idea Adam was going to show up there. But I'm so thankful you did, because that was such a help to me, what we were talking about. See, one of the pieces we really need to talk about, a big, big piece, is discipleship. And I look out here, David, thank you, David. Poor David had to put up with me. And David discipled me, and I absolutely loved it. It was totally life-changing for me. You know, the one thing I had, David, right off the bat was I was scared to death to find a book in the Bible. And I still remember you said, we're going to get over that, Mike, right now. And boy, you did. Boy, you did. And so very, very thankful. So it's about 3 weeks ago. We go over to the Peters Life Group, get there Saturday evening, and Tom's there. Mike, come over here. And I must have had that look. And he said, no, it's all right. It's all right. He said, I would like you to preach on the 24th. And I must have had that look. And he said, what are you feeling now? And I said, well, I'm feeling humility. Good, good. Are you scared? That too. He says, good. He says, I feel every time I go up there. And that's the truth. I mean, we need to treat God's word with reverence. And so I so appreciate Tom. And I got to tell you, there's one other thing he told me, as only Tom could, all right? This is not a highly theological term, but he looked me straight in the eye and he said, don't chump me. All right? I will explain. He said, 50 minutes. Okay? So I would say, let's synchronize our watches. Okay? All right? I am not going to chump the man, one of the men that I love. You know, just not going to happen. So, and then on the way home, one last word here in my intro. Driving home, and Lynn's over there, and I go, hey, Tom talked to me. Well, good, I hope he would. No. He wanted to know if I would preach. And her answer was, really? Now, apparently, she's more scared than I am. No. She had planned a weekend with a friend of hers in New York City months and months and months ago. It's been sweet. She's been sending me a text and just telling me she's praying for me. Of course, Brother Tom says when he says, well, you getting your family all lined up? How about your wife? I said, well, she won't be there. Really? Well, Brother Mike, you can talk about her. Oh. But you know what? I won't. All right? Better yet, I'll tell you what, I will, and it will all be good. See, Lynn has put up with me for over 43 years. I know I look much younger than that, but it's the truth. And I had to laugh. They were getting me wired back there, and they were talking, okay, first about, you know, well, we may pin this thing, and, you know, age has crept in. I said, well, be careful of the pacemaker. Whoops, I'm not allowed to touch it. You told me not to do that, and I just did it. All right? And the other thing was they wanted to put one of those things on. It's really neat. I really wanted to wear it, but the hearing aids got in the way. All right? So here I am, but this is going to work. All right? So, you know, it just is the way that it is. But thank you. Thanks for putting up with me. Barb and Tim, just want to give you an update there. You know, Barb went through a surgery. She's going to be going probably through another one. This last surgery, was to straighten her up. Doctor said we got to go on the other side. It involved the hip somehow, and they need to look at the other hip. So we just need to continue to pray for that couple. What a faithful, faithful couple. You know, Barb and Tim, they've been in it together, and they're still in it together. So very, very thankful for them. Pastor Rufus, I got to thank you. I always have to thank Pastor Rufus. You know, Pastor Rufus, years ago, and I just have to share, I spent some time going up. It was really my first introduction to involving ministry with people that have real storms in their lives, incarceration. And I was going up to the Oriana House up in Akron, and I was telling Rufus about it. And they were good men, but they had some really bad, bad doctrine. And I remember Rufus says, Mike, I know who you need to be talking to, and that'd be Tim Klink. So thank you, Rufus. You were the one that introduced me to Tim. Tim came here in 2014. It was July. He came. It was a Wednesday night meeting. I remember it so, so very, very well. And I remember my wife sitting by me, and she says, Mike, this is something I could do with you. And wow. And it has. I'm so very, very thankful to God for it. Ministry built on several verses. How about this? Matthew 25:36. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. I'm also going to go to, and if you would, please turn to, matter of fact, this is the other thing I want to say. Please open up your Bible. Please turn to Galatians 6:1-10. This is kind of the hallmark scripture for the prison discipleship ministry. Again, founded by Chaplain Tim. We're going to go to Galatians 6. You folks are probably already there, but my less than nimble fingers aren't getting me there so fast, but I'm there now. Chapter 6:1-10. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall hear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we faint. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So you know what? In that jail, there's another thing, some instruction that I had. Really, you know, there's obvious differences, all right? I come here this morning, I look out, none of you have orange jumpsuits on, okay? None of you, if you're women, have blue jumpsuits on. But one thing I always say when I go in, I know there's those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I know that to be a fact here, obviously. I'm also going to go out and say there may be someone in here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when I go in the jail, the whole point is when we go in there, there's nothing that we have to offer. All we can do is point towards Jesus Christ. All we can do. So when we look at our ministry, our team, we have letter writers. Bob Schilling, I don't know if Bob's here. He's my right-hand man. I love Bob. Who doesn't love Bob? Andrew was up here. Andrew Green, of course. Andrew should have had this handled before now, but we're transitioning over to something that's called JPay, which will allow us to use email. Because what happened here recently, it's been a while now, but we're no longer able to send stamped, already pre-stamped envelopes. Okay, they were being used for less than bad things. And as a result, everyone suffers, so we're not able to do that anymore. But I believe when we get this JPay up and running, we're going to need more letter writers. I believe that with all of my heart. Carol Sturtz, I know Carol's out there somewhere. Who doesn't love getting a card from Carol? Carol heads up the birthday cards, and I could just tell you story after story on those. Here's some of the facts. You look nationwide. 1920, there were 100,000 folks incarcerated. Now, take a guess how many. Over 2.4 million. Now, just so happens, June 17th, 1963, Bibles were removed from schools. And we look around, we live in a very, very difficult time. And you know what it is? In prison, these people are out of sight, they're out of mind, but here's the deal. These people are living souls that Christ died for. And that is the message of prison discipleship ministry, to reach these men, to reach these women in the jails, in the prisons, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the mission. And it's one person at a time. I wonder if I could read just a couple of letters to you. These would be from men that are in prison. The first one would be a man, his name's Peter Ortiz. Peter was a very, very serious crime. Peter killed a man. Okay? It was a fit of rage. Two men were riding each other all day. They worked together. Peter went home, got a gun, came back, and killed the man. So here's one of Pete's last letters to me. I just love getting Pete's letters. He says, to Tim and Mike in the ministry, I received the 10th lesson, and I also didn't know where I was, but it has to be more than 10. That could have been an error on our part. But here again, Pete gave me some grace. He says, but keep sending them. Send 11 and on, and I'll keep doing them. I spend a lot of time every day with Christ. I talk to him every day. I pray to him every day. And I spread his word around every day. But I still got room for a little bit more because I got a lot of peace in me. And it all comes through my Lord Jesus Christ. I just read the book of James and I fell in love with that. Guess what, Pete? I have too. James is a wonderful book. I love James too. I use that a lot in the jail when I'm not stealing the pastor's material. Which I do plenty of. That's another thing I'm not allowed to do this morning. Obviously, I think I heard that before. I can't do it. Your ministry and the family of the ministry is part of my prayer. Sometimes I think how I would be right now if I would have never have met you. Because through you and your words brought me back to Jesus. The only difference is I will never let him go. The judge let me know that I have to spend the rest of my life in prison. I can deal with that because no matter how we size it, I still committed a horrible crime. But that's nothing to what Christ promised me, an eternal life. And nobody will be able to lock me up again. Been made free, Eddie, what you were talking about in Sunday school. When I look at it that way, I generate myself with joy. Your friend and your brother, Pete. He is my friend. He is my brother. I'll read one other one here. I had a couple here, but, this 50 minutes might not be that. I may have a problem the other way here. I'm going to have to figure this out, Jay. So this one was, Dear Chaplain Pence, I want to thank you for the Bible study program. I am enclosing the first lesson along with this letter. I want to thank you for ministering to the people in prison. You don't know how much it means to us. Those folks need to know they're loved, all right? They need to know it. That's the whole point. Unlike many of the men here at Noble, this is the only crime I have ever committed, and this is my first incarceration. We see that in the ministry. We see people making mistakes. It happens. Okay? And they're good men. They're good women. And you know what? And when I go in there, I always think it could be me just as well. Absolutely. I had previously been a family man who made a dumb mistake. It happens. And was arrested. I had always attended church and did know the Bible prior to arrest. Nevertheless, I committed a crime I am ashamed of, and I am doing my punishment. Since my arrest in 2015, reading the scriptures and my faith has helped me through a situation that I otherwise could not have handled. I am so thankful that the Lord has helped me through it. I have lost every one of my physical possessions, but I don't feel poor because of the Lord. Wow. See, when we have Jesus Christ, if we have nothing else, we have everything we need. If we have everything else that the world thinks we need, and we don't have Jesus Christ, we have nothing. This man gets it. Thank you for taking the time to read this. And once again, thank you for the Bible study. God bless you. Thank you, Chuck Riggle. That's from Chuck Riggle. See, just a few letters. And we could go on and on. They're beautiful. This is a letter from Jerry Sisko. And they do. They just touch your heart. You know, one of the things, I actually think we ought to rename the Stark County Jail. We ought to call it the Stark County Bible Institute. All right? You know, and we'll make Tim Klink dean, all right? And we got some adjunct faculty. We got Carol, we got Ginger, myself. And here's the thing, just so you know, Mondays there's a medical for the men, medical chapel. That's 2:30 to 3:30 Monday afternoon. Tuesday night Bible study for the men, 6:30 to 7:45. And oh, by the way, Matt Bradley's going to come on board and help us with that. I'm so excited. That's going to be wonderful for those men. Absolutely wonderful. Matt is such a capable teacher. I just love to hear him. They're going to love him as well. Wednesday, we have 12:30 to 1:30 ladies. See, we have Ginger and Carol in there. And also, they have back-to-back. There's 2:30 to 3:30, so there's two services. And then Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have chapel services in the evening. Two men's services. First one meets 6 to 7:15, the second 7:30 to 8:45. And then Sunday, we have men's chapel 8:45 to 9:45. We have ladies from 10 to 10:45. And then there's a second ladies from 12:15 to 1:15. So you do the math, there's 13 services during the week. And if you looked in the news, the jail is packed. All right, there's well over capacities. Should be under 500, but they're over it right now. And it really, you can really, really see it. So as we look at it, we're probably through those services reaching approximately 50% of the jail participation. And, you know, some sign up, maybe it's hot, and it is hot. When I do the sign-ups and go around, it's hot. Maybe they're bored. But either way, they get in there. And I will. This is just too good not to read. I want to read. Maybe you saw this. Some of you may have, because this would have been Tim's prayer letter, a bit dated, back in March. But, Genesis 50:20, he opened it up with, "But as for you, Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass it as is this day to save much people alive. As I was making my rounds at Stark County Jail last Friday, one of the inmates handed me a letter. This is not unusual, since many of the inmates complete their Bible study lessons and hand them to me along with a letter when they see me in the housing area. I put the letter under the papers on my clipboard and proceeded with my rounds. Since it was getting close to evening chapel services, I placed a letter along with the lessons I did not finish grading into my briefcase to finish on Saturday. When I finally read the letter, I was totally amazed at God's great love, mercy, and ability to control the timing of things for His glory. He sees it all. We just see a bit. He sees it all. To get some groundwork, I want to tell you about another young man who is an inmate facing some various serious charges, and he is. Isaiah is his name. As I have met with him, it became apparent that he has a very strong Bible knowledge as well as a testimony of salvation. Like so many, he wandered away from what he knew to be right and found himself in a mess of trouble. Since he is from out of town, he had no one to visit with him, so our times together have been an encouragement to him to reconnect with the Lord. One of the rules within the jail is inmates do not discuss their case with other inmates. This young man was initially in a housing area where the other young men kept taunting him about his case and constantly badgering him about how he did it. He asked for one transfer after another to a different housing area, and each time he was moved, the same situation presented itself. Finally, he found a housing area where he was left to himself concerning his case, and that is where he settled in. Then along came the other inmate who gave me the letter. And as you may have guessed, these two young men were placed in the same housing area. Wow. While I was making my rounds, I noticed that these two men were sitting across from each other at one of the tables. I was glad they had each found a friend to talk with. When Saturday came and I read the letter, it was so apparent what God had done. The letter writer told me how his plan was to kill himself once he got to the jail. But then he met the other inmate who began to tell him of God's great love for him. His heart was stirred, and his hopelessness turned to hope. Hope has a name, Jesus Christ, by placing his trust in Jesus as his personal Savior. The letter was very difficult to read due to his poor handwriting and grammar, but his decision for Christ in his life was very plain to see. The letter concluded with verse after verse from the Psalms, praising God for his goodness and mercy. This is the third time that I know of since I have been chaplain at the jail and an inmate has led another inmate to a saving faith in Christ. Every time it happens, I am left in awe of how powerful our God is and how loving and merciful he is to use men in very desperate situations to proclaim Christ boldly. So that we can take away from this marvelous account. So what can we take away? Two things. One, when you are going through much difficulty and things seem out of control, be patient. If you folks have any trouble with being patient, I'll save you the grief of answering, I do. All right. And seek God's direction and will. God may be moving your life around to align with someone else's life. Two, just because you think nothing is happening does not necessarily mean nothing is happening. God is always at work in our lives for our own good and for the good of others through us. Keep praying for us and for God's work to go unhindered within the jails and the prisons we serve. Yeah, just a postscript to that. I remember one afternoon I was doing my sign-ups, and I went in their housing area. And the young man, they were there, they were both two young men at the table, and they were doing, they had each had their Bible open. I think we call that discipleship. And I asked if the one can't come, Isaiah, the serious crime, he's in red. And that means he's an escape risk, and he can't go to chapel. The other young man was free to do so. But he looked at me and he says, God has me where he wants me right now. And I said, I agree. And it was just wonderful, wonderful to see. So let's go to the text of today's message. I'd like to go to the Book of Mark. And we're going to look at a really, really complete day. All right. Mark chapter 4. And what I want to read... Let's read together what we want to read here. Please read along with me. Verse 34, and we'll go through verse 41. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us. Something to consider. We're going to go back to that. Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessings each and every day. And Lord, oh my, just thank you for the gift of your Son. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So Lord, I just pray today that your words just reach us. I just pray we have open ears, we have soft heart. And Lord, just meet us wherever it is we're at. Speak to us. We need to hear. And I just pray that I'm just totally out of the way. I do not want to be a distraction whatsoever. Oh, Lord, just thank you. Thank you so very, very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, our mission statement this year is, and we should all have this memorized, says, Serve the Lord, be resourceful with all of your abilities and resources. You know, the days are evil. You know, what is wrong is right. What is right is wrong. Just look around. And really, we don't have much time when you get down to it. We don't have much time. You know, families are under attack. Frankly, Christians are under attack. But there's two things to remember. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So point one, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Second point is, you know, this is our time, you know. Eddie, going through the book of Acts, I love the book of Acts. And you get to the end of Acts, and it really doesn't seem to really end. But it does. It's going on. It's not ending. You know why? Because the story's still being written, and we're part of it. And so this is our time. Illustration of that's the book of Esther. See, you had that man by the name of Haman, evil. Evil throughout. He had a plot to kill all the Jews. Mordecai tells Esther the plot. See, Mordecai was Uncle Mordecai to Esther. And Mordecai said to Esther, you got to talk to the king. Esther said, hey, if I am not called, I may be killed. Mordecai, his answer was, don't think that you will escape death by not speaking up. You are here for such a time as this. And you know what? Esther was obedient. And as a result of that, the Jews were delivered from annihilation. So we're here for a reason. And this is our time. We weren't born in the 1700s. I'm glad for that. I got very poor eyesight. I wouldn't have lasted long. All right? But we're here for this time, this very, very important time. So, you know, I'm looking out. I just see another source of encouragement to me. That's my disciple, Scott. It's good seeing you here. It's such encouragement. We meet every Friday. See, discipleship, I just love. So it's real easy for me to get off topic. So I'm sorry. I got off topic. But not really, all right? Because it's all part of the topic, honestly, all right? But verse 35, in the same day, as we said there, see, when it started off, that same day, it started off to be a great one. Christ was teaching. Great crowds were being drawn. But however, as good a day as it was, it ended with a violent storm. And you know what? We think about it. Doesn't that happen in our lives all the time? It might be financial distress, you know? We kind of string our budget together where, you know, I can be as guilty of that as the next person. Paycheck to paycheck, that's fine as long as you don't have a car breakdown. Maybe it is kids act up in school. Maybe you're affected by someone else's decision and you just take on some of the shrapnel from it. That can happen too. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's a bad medical diagnosis. You know, it's been said that we are either in a storm, we're coming out of a storm, or we'll be going in a storm very, very soon. You never know what a day may bring. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. See, that same day, by the end of the day, there was a storm. But it starts out there, he says, you know what? When the evening was come, he saith, let us pass over to the other side. See, he wasn't going to go over there alone. And he wasn't going to ask them to go over there alone. That's how Jesus does things. It's let us. It's marvelous. He wants us to be a part of it. And we need to move from times from here to there. Too many times we try to do it under our own power. Let us, let Jesus lead you across that gulf. You know? And really, when you get down to it, you know, it's in our lives that he's always going to be there with you. And you know, that phrase there, let us, that was pointed out to me. I was talking to a custodian at school. His name's Chris. And Chris, he said, I love that. I love that, let us. And we were talking, and I said, hey, Chris, what's your testimony? All right? And he said, I'll tell you what it is, Mike. He said, I was a young man. And he said, I was all geared up to play some basketball. Couldn't wait to play. And he said, I don't know why, but he had shined up his car. And he said, I had that car shined up. I guess he just wanted a grand arrival down there. We're heading down to Sandy Valley. Chris lived in East Canton at the time. So he's ready to go. About that time, his sister pulls up, wouldn't you know, parks right in front of his car. And Chris says, move it, sis. Said, I don't have time. What in the house? He lost it. All right? He lost his temper. As he described it, his arm went out. He hit the door, kind of a fluid motion. And the arm went through the glass. And he said he felt something warm. And he just kind of went like that. And he looked down, and it was just all blood. He said his granddad came running out, put a bit of a tourniquet or something around that, got him in the car, and they headed off. Doctor stitched him up, and oh, my, it's something else. I saw the scars, 32 of them in his wrist and his hand. And the doctor said to him, you know, I've never put 32 stitches in anyone's hand. And he said, my granddad looked at me, and he says, son, you got to turn it over. You got to turn it over. That anger, you got to turn it over to Jesus. That's Chris's testimony. And he said, you know what? I'm thankful I did it that day. See? So, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other ships. See, at that point in time, it was still calm. There was a calm sea. There were many, many ships out there. And in 37, then there's a storm, the great storm of wind, waves beating into the ship. It's now ready. It's taken on water. It looks like it may sink. All right. Now, just a little lesson. Sea of Galilee, I've learned, is about 700 feet below sea level. It's surrounded by mountains. So sudden and violent storms are common. They do happen. Jesus, however, in this storm, he was in the hinder part of the ship. He's asleep. You know, and I imagine these fishermen, they had seen a storm or two in their lives. But this must have been one mammoth one. Here's Jesus sleeping. They didn't wake him up immediately. Why? Because they knew he was tired. I mean, he was, you know, he had been preaching, teaching, you know, and his humanness, he was tired. So they knew that. They respected that. And then it probably was the point where they thought, surely this storm's going to wake him up. Surely it's going to happen. But you know what? They did not understand how calm his heart was. Hey, here's the thing. Let's go to John, please. John chapter 1. verse 1 through 3. How could Jesus' heart be so calm? Well, here's the thing. First off, you know, there's a relationship. You got God the Father, all right, who, when you look at Jesus, I mean, he came up. I love how Tim framed this up, the Trinity. It goes something like this. God the Father had the plan, all right. Jesus Christ, the Son, carried it out perfectly. And Eddie, the Holy Spirit allows us to continue to walk our life in the Spirit as opposed to letting the flesh get in the way. But looking here at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." See, Jesus created, all right? That's why He could sleep through that storm. Now, they're certainly scared. And while they trust Him, they had their doubts. And going back to the text here, they had their doubts, and if we're honest about it, you know, sometimes we may believe that God doesn't care. We may well believe that. You know, let's say we have an illness. We pray, and we pray. Illness gets worse. But God is always in control. And even if the Christian dies, and he may, that Christian is secure. And you know what? Others need to be. And ultimately, we are all going to die. I'm getting more and more aware of this. I'm age 64. I don't think by anyone's estimation I'm still middle-aged, all right? Because the math would be 128. I don't think it's going to happen, okay? So ultimately, we're all going to die. But we will spend eternity with Christ. And what is our mission when we're walking on earth? What is our mission? We know it. It is to bring glory to God. And it may be that our death will bring the greatest glory to God. It may be. Wow. See, there's no guarantee of an easy mission. No guarantee. That's that ridiculous stuff that's being taught out in these churches. I tried to look up panty waist in Webster's dictionary. Couldn't really, but by golly, it's a good word. It really is. These effeminate preachers, all they're worried about is themselves and no one else. Man, there's just way, 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 way too much of that out there. But, and you know, A.W. or Leonard Ravenel, I got a couple quotes here. This is from Leonard Ravenel. You know, again, he says, "We live in a day of itching ears, but I have no commission from God to scratch them." I'm so thankful for our pastors, each and every one of them. They come up here, and what we get's the Word. We get God's love letter preached to us. I'm so very, very thankful for our pastors. I love each and every one of them. I love you, Jay. Consider Christ's mission. He lived on earth for 30 years for our redemption. He went to that cross. Nails didn't hold him. What held him there? Love. Love held him there. And he bore all of the wrath of God for our behalf, every bit of it. He died, and he rose again. And he's now pleading before God for us. You were his enemy, and he saved you. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." That's Romans 5:10. You know, there's some other points to consider here. Though Christ was asleep, he was still in the boat. And it's interesting. It's the only account in the Bible where Jesus is asleep. I think that's interesting. And you know what? Hey, Christian, Jesus is always in our boat. That gives me great comfort. He goes with us in all of our trials. When we are persecuted, he is persecuted. When Jesus stepped on that boat, he knew there was going to be a storm. The disciples didn't know it, but he knew it. In verse 39, after "Master, carest thou that we not perish," verse 39, they get their answer. He cares. And he arose and rebuked the wind. That's the answer to us. We've asked that same question. He cares. And he said unto the sea, "Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great, great calm. See, you know what happened? He made their danger an opportunity for the display of himself. He had healed, and they had witnessed all of that. They had seen that. How marvelous. And can you imagine being part of that, just seeing that? Oh, man, that would have been something. But now they saw that it went much beyond that, that he could control the wind and the waves. They had no idea. See, and again, they got the answer to their question. Does he care? He does. You see, Christian, all who trust in God will see that God cares about them. When he was awakened, think about it. He wasn't angry. I think that's a good lesson for us when we ask honest questions. Right? He's not going to get angry. He can handle our questions. And really, he could have walked away from the boat. He could have, but he didn't. In verse 40, and here's the question he had for those disciples. It's one for us today. Why is it that ye are so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Why? Why do we worry? I worry all the time. All right? I hate to admit that. All right? It's a sin. Pastor Roy would look at me and say, Mike, that's a sin. And it is. Why are you afraid? Why is it that ye have no faith? And speaking of Pastor Roy, how about this? You'll recognize this. A faith not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Absolutely. See, Jesus was testing them. By this trial, he was strengthening them. He had to prepare them for their mission. They had a mission. Oh, they had a mission. They were to be fishers of men. Guess what? We are also. That's our mission. And you know what? Fishermen encounter storms. We will too, Eddie. All of us in here. We will too. You know, and while he was gone, they would have always remembered this day when he took us to the other side. He was in that vessel with us, and yet we were in a storm. You know, I was thinking about this. It's amazing when you start looking at Scripture and you start thinking and about what God, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to talk about? As I was going through this, I was thinking of our family. And our family's had a few storms along the way. I'm thankful for this church because you helped us weather some of those storms. You know, our kids have had storms. But you know what? I can see that God was always with our family through each and every one of those storms. And I'm looking around this room. Miriam, I love you. Michael, I love you. Alicia, I love you. I love my grandkids. Oh, do I love my grandkids. That's a good reason, Michael, I didn't kill you. All right? I love my grandkids. I'm telling you. But you know what? Lorenzo went through a storm of his own. He almost died. Oh, I'm so thankful for God. And Scott, if he were here, again, he's working. I love Scott. I love Scott so much. He's a fine young man. Fine young man. So, you know, but here's the deal. As much as I love each and every one of you, and you know what, Han? You're wearing on me, okay? All right? You know, I tell you what. I love it that Han comes. He comes to church with my daughter. All right? You're high in my eyes. And you know what? You know what? I might as well just say I love you because I tell those men in the jail I love them. All right? And until I came to this church, I wasn't much in the habit of telling men I love them. Certainly wasn't in the habit of hugging. My life changed. All right? I mean, this is a hugging. But you know what? I love the men in this church. They're men's men. I look out there. I look at Ted Chester, Denny Blake, David Peters, and the list goes on. And they're men. But they have soft hearts. Aaron Stanley. Oh, my. Oh, my. I love you, Aaron. Okay. I love all of you here. But see, you know, God loves you more. See, so that's the message in the jail. God loves you with a love that you cannot imagine. You just can't imagine it. He has a mission for you that you just cannot get your hands around. And you know why? Because, again, he loves you so much. And you can't outgive God in anything. And you certainly can't outgive him in the love department. I tell those people in the jail that all the time. In verse 41, And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this?" Wow. See, before they feared the wind and the sea. But after his demonstration of his power over the wind and the sea, they weren't afraid of it anymore. You know who they were afraid of? A bit? Jesus. And you know what? That was a huge moment of truth for them. You know, they would have started thinking about, wow, all those times I exhibited disbelief, I offended Jesus. And now they would have just pushed them harder to give honor to Jesus. See, wow, what a manner of man is this? Why am I worrying? You know, why is that? You know, and I love this. When Jesus is on our side, what do we have to worry about? Nothing. Nothing at all. And I love this quote from A.W. Tozer. No one can know. I love this verse, this saying. It's not verse, but it's a saying. The true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. See, that's where these panty-waist preachers get it wrong. They're not preaching the message. And that's the message that needs to be out there. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There's a price that's going to be paid. But it doesn't have to be. Jesus paid the price. It does not have to be. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. So there's a hinge here. That was the storm. The hinge is faith. And faith, really, what is faith? Well, biblical faith means having trust, assurance, and confidence in God and His Word. It means you stop trusting yourself and trust Him. It means total, total dependence on God. That's wonderful because as a result of that, faith releases you from your limited abilities and turns you over to Him with His unlimited, all-powerful abilities. Where does faith come from? It's pretty clear. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:7. Let's just look one more. Let's go to Matthew. Keep your finger here in Mark, but let's go to Matthew. Let's look up one other verse here. Verses. You know, Matthew 14:25 through 31. Matthew 14:25 through 31. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save us." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" See, Jesus took her. Peter, excuse me, took his eye off Jesus. See, we have faith all the time. Think about it in our lives, all right? We have faith. I have faith that I can sit down and this bench is going to hold me, all right? I have faith. I can get in my car. I'm going to turn the key. It's going to work. We're going to go on a trip to Ireland, right, Randy? Sandy? Do any of us know how to fly that plane? No. But we have faith that that plane's going to get us there. See, how do we get biblical faith? Where does that come from? It comes from God. Okay. It comes from God. He wants to reveal himself to us. See, revelation is God's revealing of himself to mankind. And really, when you think about it, faith first comes from knowledge. That's why when I said this baby dedication and what Andrew said, that is so true. All right? It's the parents' responsibility to get knowledge to their children. All right? But then that knowledge has to become bigger. It has to become belief. It's really building a relationship, and it's any relationship, For those of us that are married, all right, building a relationship with my wife, all right, it takes time. And knowledge becomes belief. I believe in my wife. We believe in our spouse. And then ultimately, it's trust we can rely on. That was the picture I saw there today. Right? They want ultimately, when that sweet little girl goes out there and she tries to follow what it says in the Bible, which anymore is just really trying to go upstream in this ridiculous world, all right? They want to make sure that she's going to have her trust, her own trust at that point. See, Deuteronomy is really the first mention of faith. And it's Deuteronomy 29:29. And the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but these things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the Lord. See, the faith, it's interesting, Jay. I thought 50 minutes, I got to start pulling this in. And it's happening right before my eyes. And it's like, yikes, how did I get to this point? All right. But see, let's just hit a high point here. All right. First off, faith comes in two forms. All right. There's general revelation. For the invisible things of Him. For the visible things of Him from the creation of the world. You know what, Jay? It happened again. I was going to say I was going to get through this. And for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And I am sorry I stumbled on that. But I tell you, that's where it begins. You look up in that sky, and this morning I was out there, and there was one major bright light out there amongst all the other stars. It was Venus. It was incredible. How could you ever question the existence of God when you look up in that sky? See, I never, as a young man, that was never an issue for me. I knew there was a God. But I was of the belief that there were many paths to God. And that was until a young woman came into my life, Lynn, and she invited me to the Akron Baptist Temple one evening. I went there at the end of the service. The pastor asked, if you're saved, he said, raise your hand. Everyone raised their hand except me. A, I didn't know what saved meant. B, more important, I was not saved at that time. And as I remember, maybe it wasn't this way, I remember an army of men coming down and saying, son, we need to talk. I was put off. I was embarrassed. It took a while. It took a while. And I still remember Lynn looking at me and thinking, you know what, you're a little thicker than I thought you were. All right? But it was with love. See, that was the starting point. And, you know, then you get to that point, and eventually I did accept, obviously. See, there was the other thing. Lynn would never have married me, all right, otherwise. And I wasn't going to just do it so we could get married, all right? It had to be for the right reasons. And I remember we started attending the chapel on Fur Hill, and Dave Burnham was the pastor. And he would make that Bible come to life, all right? And I would see that, boy, those were real people in here. They had real worries, real concerns. And we go to, let's just go to Hebrews, the great faith chapter in the Bible. Okay. Hebrews. Chapter 11. And we'll just hit a couple of verses. And this is illustrating special revelation. God revealing Himself through His Word and through Jesus Christ. Now faith, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Drop down there, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And it goes on, all through there, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, faith Moses, by faith Israel, by faith Joshua, by faith Rahab, the harlot, by faith Gideon, by faith Barak, by faith Samson, by faith Jephthah, by faith David. Let's see. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. One other point on faith here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, faith is the hinge. Going back to Mark, let's just finish this up a little bit here. Mark, going into chapter 5. And here was the whole point of this, all right? Jesus had a reason he was crossing the lake. The reason was one man on the other side. And as we see there, they came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. That's a lot like what's happening out in society. Hey, let's get these folks in prison, all right? Let's bind them with shackles. Let's get some social programs. None of it works. They break right through that. None of them could tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now, I think about that verse, and I think about this man, and he's running towards Jesus. Those disciples had to be thinking, "Oh my, what is going on now?" And I'm almost well imagining Peter was probably back at the anchor thinking, "Can we get this anchor up and get out of here?" All right? But and they were probably all lined up behind Jesus. But look what happens. All right? "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many." Legion is a Roman military unit. Number 6,000. That's how many devils were in this man. "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There was about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that had fled the swine, that fed the swine, fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told him how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine." And here's the point. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. All right? Now, I don't know if these men were Jewish or not. All right? Some think they were. A Jewish man handling swine, that's not a good thing. All right? But either way, look at it. They are praying that Jesus depart out of their coast. See, here's this man, for all those years that they had been possessed with all of these demons. Jesus had healed them. You would have thought these men would have celebrated that, but they did not. Why? Because it was a hit. They didn't want Jesus to come into their life. All right? They really, matter of fact, just saw the stock in the Hebrew Swine Company just plummet. All right, it hit them in the pocketbook. And isn't that the truth? Sometimes, whether they were Jew or Gentile, you know, the message there is sometimes we play with pigs. All right, we do, and we all do that. What might it be? It might be, you know, that job title. It might be an addiction. It might be, you know, just selfishness, just in general. It can be any number of things. You know, it could be just social drinking. It could be pride, self-righteousness. It could be anger. It could be gossip. It could be worry. It could be sex outside of marriage, right? Those are the things, those are those pigs that we want to hold on to. We don't want to turn them all over, all right? And sometimes, you know, it might even be the music we listen to. It might be the books we shouldn't read. It might really be those movies that we shouldn't watch, see? At this point in time, all right, again, all I know is I'm 64 years old, and as I've gone through this, this was very, very convicting to me. I'm too busy. Frankly, I'm too busy. And I know Tim's praying for me right now because he's telling me, Mike, you're too busy. And you know, that's one of those pigs. It really is. And that's something I need to just give over. See, to close, really, Jesus is the only answer. And this is where Adam came in, all right? Over there at Einstein's, Harvey and I were talking. Harvey was getting ready to leave. Adam shows up, and Michael, I'm proud of you. 180 days sober. I'm proud of my son. And Adam is discipling Michael in their meeting. And it didn't start off real well at first, all right? There was some bumps in the road, okay? But you know what? At this point in time, it is working. I'm seeing changes. I thank you, Adam. I know. See, Adam, you know what he told me? He said, when Brad Chaney was discipling me, I was a knucklehead. Okay? And you told me I could say this, so you're bigger than I am. I don't want to get you mad at me. But you told me I could say this. But he says, you know what? Brad stuck with me. Brad loved me. That's the message of discipleship. It's love. It's sticking. It's sticking with someone. I'm so thankful. Brad, are you here? There you are. I'm thankful, Brother Brad, because of what you did to Adam. Adam is now sticking with my son, Michael, who I love. I love immensely. I'm so thankful. See, that's discipleship, see? And what happened, like Adam was talking about, see, AA, that whole notion of AA, it started out maybe right, right? And there's parts of it I won't disrespect. But there's such a big piece. They don't have their eyes on Jesus, not at all. They call it a higher power. That higher power could be a toaster. It could be a bottle of ketchup. All right? They need Jesus Christ. If they would get that, they would have something. And see, when you get a man like Adam that knows that, Adam lost as a result of what he went through, and he knows that. My son came very, very close to losing everything. And when you get men like that, and you go back to this, chapter 5, think about the testimony of that man that had been possessed with the devils, all right? People say, that's a man, and he would say, you better believe I was, but Jesus made it right. And there were two classes of people there. There were people that wanted to run and flee, Jesus, get out of here. As a result, he does leave. But that man that is now in his right mind, he said, and when he had come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Jesus, stay with me, Jesus. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. What a testimony. Think of the impact. Think of all the people. This area of Decapolis wasn't like one city. It was a whole region with many cities. And there would have been so many people reached. And when I read verses like this, that's when I realize Pastor Tom's exactly right. When he puts it up on the board in discipleship, it's reproducing reproducers. One becomes two. Two becomes four. Four becomes 16. And you know how he does it. Pretty soon he's up over 8 billion. And but that's how the math works on it. That is our mission. We need to be about that. We need to be out there. We need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. Randy and I were talking about it, and sometimes, Randy, when we're honest, we kind of shrug back, don't we, my friend? We do. But we need to be bold, and we need to turn it all over to Jesus. And whatever it is, whatever we're dealing with, and we all have issues. We all have issues. I know there's issues in this church. We all have them. We need to turn them over to Jesus, whatever that might be. And if there's anyone in here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there would be no better day than today to make that decision. No better day. And Jay, I just don't exactly know how to end this other than I just want to just everyone to just really just grab on to Jesus wherever it is that you're at. And I'm just going to just close in prayer. Okay. And again, I wish, wow, and I did go over, and I feel bad about that. Dear Heavenly Father,